Hey, how's it going, guys? This is Oscar Samayo from Mi Tocaya en Tejeria.
Hey, it's Diana Davila from Mi Tocaya en Tejeria, Chicago, and you're listening to Full Service Radio. I think it would be really unfair for anybody to say that you have to be of that certain culture to cook it or to love it. I mean, I feel happy that many people love Mexican food because it's one of the best in the world, and good, that means that you have good taste. If you want to cook it, for sure, like, dive into it. But I mean, I do think that hopefully you would spend a lot of time trying to learn it, you know, before just naming things or using the language or just making up your own things. Hi, I'm Diana Davila. I'm the chef owner of Mi Tocaya en Tejeria in Chicago.
Hey, how's it going? Oscar Samayoa. I work at Mi Tocaya en Tejeria. I've been working at Mi Tocaya, August will be 2 years. I'm not Mexican, but I'm Guatemalan and definitely learning a lot about Mexico. I'm born and raised in Chicago, so, you know, not knowing a lot about the culture, but coming into working for chef, there's like a whole different world behind it.
It's not about who has the most experience or who's worked where. It's more so like you're looking for a connection. You know, like the Mi Tocaya is a small, very small restaurant and an even smaller crew. So I'm really looking for someone who first and foremost wants to learn about Mexican food. I mean, food is 100% correlated with its culture. So, I mean, there really isn't a separation. Because I've even found that there's some people like, oh, yeah, I want to learn about it. And like, can we do this? Can we do this? And like, that's not, you have to surrender yourself when you're going to learn something that you really don't know anything about. You know, like, you can't just go in somewhere and start changing things.
I really appreciate spending time doing moles with her. She's showed me a lot. I think we covered almost all of them. There's 7 different moles, and we've almost covered all of them. But
in Oaxaca, yeah.
In Oaxaca, there's 7 different moles. And people don't know that, too. That's another thing that I learned about from Chef, is that there's like 7 different moles. You know, people only think that there's one type, and it's like the chocolate-based one. There is that mole, but there's so many behind it. One of my favorites is mancha manteles that her and I worked on together. She taught me how to do it. The fruits in it and just like the time and putting into it. It took us like 3 days to finally get it all done together. But those 3 days, spending the time together and making it was like, yeah, hell yeah. Like, this is dope. And once we finally finished it, we were like, this is it right here.
I grew up in taquerias, and I first thought that when I realized I wanted to be a chef, I didn't want to tell my parents because I figured that they were going to be like, you're just saying that because we always have you here and that's our fault, or we like get a real job, you know. You know, my parents are people who just, they're full of life and they always want to do as much like as they possibly can. And when they opened up a restaurant, I mean, thinking about it now, I'm just like, why would they want to open up a restaurant? It's not like we cooked in our family. Yes, we love to. But I think it was because they knew that they were going to keep working, but this would be something that they had for their own. And the family was very much involved. I don't have that much family here. And so, you know, it was our daycare. So started off with taquerias. You know, they opened and closed, you know, throughout the years. And when I opened the restaurant, they closed their last one. So it was kind of funny. And also made it feel like if it was giving like a sort of rebirth to theirs. So I had actually quit a position that I was in before opening up Mi Tocaya. And that was a very, very difficult thing to do because I had dedicated like 2 years and so much time. And the restaurant was only open for like 2 months. And then I ended up made the decision of, you know, leaving. And during that time, I was super, super, super depressed after that. And it felt like going through like a public breakup. And I kind of just was, I don't know what, I think I took like a month definitely of self-loathing and being like, what am I going to do now? You know, plus I only wanted to cook Mexican food. So, you know, that already your window is like really small. Still not even thinking about opening up my own place. I just started reaching out to other chefs that I respected a lot and restaurant owners. And, you know, really it was through everybody all of them, that they were like, you should open up your own place. Don't do anything big. Don't get overwhelmed. Just like start thinking of like, you should totally open up your own place. And they're really the ones that gave me kind of the confidence. I mean, like, yeah, you know what? You're right. I should. And that's when I started thinking about, well, what kind of place? You know, obviously it's going to be Mexican, but I mean, it's so vast in what you could do with Mexican food. I actually didn't have to think too long. Antojería kept on coming up in my head, and I always loved antojerías. It's a style of restaurant that serves, yes, antojos, which are, you know, a lot of people kind of look at them as being medium plates for sharing, but also nostalgic. And it's almost, it also reminds me of almost the sort of greatest hits menu where you have like little snapshot of a lot of different aspects of Mexican food, which I thought was perfect for me because I knew I did want to do tacos. I knew I wanted to do other dishes that are not so known. So an antojería would be perfect. And then also it's just like, I feel like it's very romantic. You know, it's the notion of an antojería, you know, in the root of the word, you know, ante los ojos, like before you even see it, like you're longing for it, like having a longing for food that you kind of grew up or romanticized because it was part of your childhood and you felt good about. So I felt like that was also really something that almost everybody could kind of relate to.
Every step has to be on point and we're always consistent. And she's always on my ass about it. She's like, hey, did you salt this? And I'll be like, fuck, I didn't. She knows, like, so I can't lie to her because she knows every step that we do, she's like, let me taste it. But that's the thing about, you know, about her is she knows her recipes and she's like on it about it.
You know, with Mexican food, there's been a lot of sort of circulation about what is authentic or who should be cooking it and who shouldn't. You know, like I've tried to kind of really come to terms with what does authenticity mean? What does that even really mean? You know, because when you take a cuisine like Mexican cuisine, Mexico is a very, very large country and its cuisine is very, very vast. And it's always changing. It's actually something that's very, very true with Mexican food. There's movement. And anytime that there's movement, I mean, take a look at how many Mexican immigrants live in Chicago. So they have to adapt what they used to do in their cities and towns in Mexico, and they adapt. So it changes. Somebody could be like, well, that's not authentic. And it's like, well, how so? That's really just geography. We had said earlier, yes, there's seven moles in Oaxaca, but throughout Mexico, there's many other different kinds, you know? And again, like people move, people are constantly traveling. And that's one of the things that I learned about as I was doing research regarding Mexican food and pre-Hispanic cuisine, when the Spaniards first started coming, where, what ports, what were they bringing? How did things incorporate? I love seeing maps like that too, because you're like, oh, that's why they do it like this over there. Or like, oh, like you, things really start making sense. Once you really start making sense out of everything and understand and feel a part of it, I feel like that's a really good time to, yeah, now you can make it into your own. I think that having the venue of Mitocaya, having people go in there really is making them feel comfortable and earning their trust so they could try new things. There's plenty of people who have come in before and they're like, oh, we don't really like mole. And I'll hear our gang, our servers be like, but have you really tried? You really have to try it. Like, I'll even give you a little taste, like, and then you decide. And again, it's not like we don't want to be there and be like, oh, well, you don't know. Or like, who wants to be told, oh, well, you don't know. You haven't had that. Like, you know, it's about really engaging people and earning their trust and making them feel comfortable. And having Mitocaya, it gives us a space where we're sharing what we know, but also, you know, making them a part of it as well. We'll be far.